Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, we all know that success has many factors that need to be in place. Some of it is being in the right place at the right time. Much of it is being prepared for that right place at the right time. And some of it is just paying attention. And have you ever noticed how sometimes things are so obvious you just don't notice them until you notice them? Well, there's a pattern there. What if that pattern could provide a blueprint for better understanding yourself and those you work and live with? Wouldn't you want to know? Well, executive coach and trainer Daniel Silvert shares a simple four-style behavioral model with us later in today's show. And I know this works because if you apply it, because I've used it myself and I've actually found it a lot more useful than the Myers-Briggs test. So we'll find out more about that with Daniel Silvert later. But my first guests today are winning experts in their field. They together have authored a new book. They say, "We wrote this book because we believe every woman should dream big dreams and have the knowledge and tools to make her dreams a reality. We want to make the journey easier for all women." And those authors are Sharon Haderi and Laura Henderson. The book is called How Women Lead, The Eight Essential Strategies Successful Women Know. Let me tell you about each of my guests today. Sharon is principal of Sharon Haderi and Company. She's a founder and former executive director of the Center for Women's Business Research. She's been a leader in creating social change for women for over two decades. She's also a lifelong educator and mentor and is currently an adjunct professor in the doctoral program at the University of Maryland University College. She teaches organizational change and leadership, and she guides doctoral dissertations. And her co-author, Laura Henderson, is president of Henderson Associates. Laura left corporate America at the age of 32 to found Prospect Associates, a highly respected health communications and biomedical research firm. She grew that to over $20 million in revenues, over 200 employees, and was named the National Woman Business Owner of the Year. She's known for her advocacy for women in business and co-founder of the Center for Women Business Research and Nonprofit Research Institute, which focuses exclusively on women entrepreneurs and leaders. Sharon Haderi and Laura Henderson, welcome to the show.
Hello, we're happy to be here.
Yes, indeed.
Well, glad to have you. Glad to be able to share this book and the information in this book with our listeners, because I know you've both poured 20 plus years of personal experience into it. Plus, you've done extensive research. You're both researchers. You are advocates for women in leadership. You've just poured a whole ton of effort into this book. So, Sharon, why don't we start out with you and just tell us a little bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Well, you said it very well when you started, which is that we wanted women to dream big dreams and have the knowledge to achieve them. But going back to the research, that also was a platform that catapulted us into writing this. First, we were seeing that women were moving ahead in the corporate world. Today, we see more women in the corner offices, on the floors of Congress. In fact, this year's Congress, or the 2013 Congress, will have the largest number of women ever. We're seeing women owning large, substantial, growing businesses, and actually commanding troops in the military. So we saw all this progress, but we also saw that the rate of that progress was slowing down. And we said, what can we give women that will help them take control of their own destiny and make a difference and achieve their goals?
Why do you think you saw that growth slowing down? Maybe Laura can answer this.
We're not absolutely sure why it's slowing down. There are a lot of theories, the economy being one of the major ones. But But what we saw was that the progress that had been made statistically was slowing down, and we were very concerned about that. And we wanted to look back at our history. We have interacted with hundreds and thousands of women over our years with the Center for Women's Business Research, and we felt that we had insights, and we had very specific things that we could share with women that would make a difference for how they were able to succeed in the business world. We interviewed very successful women, just exclusively for this book, and heard their stories, and combined that with the research that was out in the world and our experience and their experience, and came up with a book that we think provides a lot of insight that women and others can use to build a career and build an integrated life.
Mm. Now, it often helps, not always, but often helps when you have a partner who's like-minded, has the same kind of passion about the subject that you do. How did you two come to meet?
Well, this is Sharon. Actually, Laura was my boss.
Okay.
Although
she must have been a good mentor then.
Well, Laura will say that I've never had a boss.
But, there you go.
Very true.
Seriously, I met Laura when she was starting to put together, along with one other woman, they were starting the Center for Women's Business Research. And at that time, we had no data on women as entrepreneurs, women in the corporate world, and what they wanted to do was put together an institute, a nonprofit, that would study women's entrepreneurship and what would propel women to be more successful. And they hired me to come for 3 months, part-time, to help them get it set up, while I, who had just left IBM under one of their buyouts, and they I was looking for a corporate job, and they were looking for somebody to run their nonprofit who had nonprofit leadership experience. Mm-hmm. 20 years later, I retired.
There you go. Now, I find it interesting in the book that you you talked about how things have changed since you were around in the 70s because there were so few women around there. And I think, Sharon, you were talking about that yourself in the book.
Yes. And if we go back to the early 70s when I first went into corporate America, as did Laura, our only role models were men. And that was the way that that was the only way that we saw how to lead. And these men, I mean, I don't ever want to in any way disparage this because they were leading very successful companies. But over the years, what we've come to see is partly it is a change with the increasing globalization, increasing diversity, increased rate of change. So we've seen a change in the corporations. But also, as women began to move into leadership positions, many of them started to lead in their own manner. Women tend to be more holistic in their perspective. They are values-based. They are consultative. They are inclusive. And so what we began to see was this made a difference. And today, in fact, we have hard data that shows that having more women in leadership actually improves profitability, improves corporate performance, and creates a culture that is compelling to employees to become effectively committed.
Right. And I was interested in reading the book to see that some of those statistics came from places like Vietnam, you know, where we don't traditionally think of women being leaders.
Well, we find in the developing world, especially with some of the microloan programs, that entrepreneurship has really increased. And this is one of my passions because I believe that when you bring success to women, you bring success and a better environment to children, who are, after all, our future. And especially in the developing world, where quite often there is an extensive amount of poverty, being able to have women work with their crafts or with other things and develop a business on their own has made an amazing difference in their countries, and also has made an amazing difference with their children's lives. And one of the interesting things in the microloan program, which is generally focused on women, is that the initial founder of the microloan program went with women because they paid back. They always paid the loans back. And that was, again, part of, as Sharon said, the value that women bring to business.
Right, right. Well, you came up, you interviewed 14 women. I mean, these are women who are really powerful in their own rights. Worked very hard, had a lot of great input, ranged from people in banking technology, hotel management, pharmaceuticals, office supplies, the law and the military. So there was a huge range of skill and expertise there. But you found some amazing consistencies in the responses they gave you to the questions you asked. So we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 8 success strategies that you came up, the 8 essential strategies, that I should say, that you came up with to help women be successful. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guests in this segment are Sharon Haderi and Laura Henderson. And their book is called How Women Lead. Oh, Lead Like a Woman, excuse me. No, How Women Lead. I'm reading the back of the book and it says something different. How Women Lead. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
If the thought of mingling with in-laws at holiday parties, finding love under the mistletoe, or connecting with strangers at network meetings makes you wish you were somewhere else, don't miss next week's show on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Body language and communications expert Patty Woods will tell us how to dazzle without the frazzle. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and find over 200 podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and my guests in this segment are business executives, business leaders, mentors, speakers, and they advocate for women and women in leadership. And their new book is called How Women Lead, the 8 Essential Strategies Successful Women Know. And my guests are Sharon Haderi and Laura Henderson. So I said before the break, I wanted to take a look at the 8 success strategies that you came up with. And you came up with this after extensive looking at your own history, your own experience, and talking with these 14 very powerful women, you found amazing consistencies. Were you surprised to find so many consistencies?
Yes and no. This is Sharon. Yes, because of the wide range of women we talked to. On the other hand, when we had been collecting data and doing research, we did see so many of these consistencies. So it was gratifying, if you will, to see that when we talked to women who had actually done this, they came out very similar to all of the research that we had seen.
Right. So let's look at success strategy number one. Maybe, Laura, you can kick us off with lead like a woman. And I think it's really important to stress that you've said several times throughout the book, and you said it a little earlier, that you're not saying women are better or worse leaders than men. They are just different.
Exactly. In fact, we say that the question is no longer, do women or men lead better? The question is, how can women and men work together to lead the most effectively? And what we found under Lead Like a Woman, and one comment to make is, since we've written the book, we've really have a lot of thoughts, as one does. And we really see that pretty much the first two strategies are the essential strategies, and then 3 through 8 are really the implementation of those two. But Lead Like a Woman is one that we see in the women that we know and that we interviewed, that they love being women. They have very strong values. Those values drive them. They are more participatory with the people they work with. They're inclusive. They're consultative. And they look at the world different. They are have a more holistic perspective. They look at the whole person, the whole organization, not just what we're here to meet about today. So it's a different way of looking, a different way of thinking. And women, especially with the new research that has come out, women really believe that this works, and they have faith in themselves and thus the confidence to lead like a woman.
Right, right. Own your own destiny, success strategy number two. You start off by saying, Sharon, that value of high goals is not just a motivational myth. Successful women think big from the start. And in fact, many times when we're not as successful as we want to be, it's because we're not thinking big enough.
Exactly. What we know from research, and I love this piece of research, when we looked at what differentiated the women who would get capital to expand their business and those who didn't, was that the women who got the capital, it was not the size of the business, it was not the length of time in business, it was not the industry. What it was their goal for growth. But going back to owning your destiny, it starts out with taking a very intense look at yourself. Laura calls it having a conversation with yourself. And in that conversation, what you are discovering is how you define success for yourself in your professional life, your family life, your personal life, and in the community and the way you participate in the community. And then deciding how you are going to integrate all of those goals, how you will pursue them. We also know that when you own your destiny, you'll set priorities. You can't achieve everything to the fullest extent at one time. On the other hand, your priorities will change over time. So you need to constantly be going back and saying to yourself and looking at your goals, and how are you fulfilling them, what your priorities are, what's important to you at this time in your career.
Right. One of the things you end that chapter on, I love, is design your work around your life, because it is more possible, much more possible now with remote access than it was, you know, even 5 years ago. Be the architect of your career is number three on your six essential strategies successful women know. You say you must make sure you have the right credentials and don't necessarily look for linear moves. So So, Laura, go ahead.
Sorry. It's extremely important, we felt, for women to know what kind of skills, what kind of experience they needed to have. And we certainly, in our interviews, talked to the women about what it was they had and what it was they wished they'd learned earlier, those kinds of things. And one of the most important ones is to get experience in being responsible for profit and loss. And this is an area that women do not get the opportunity to do very often because they're generally their responsibilities are more staff positions than line positions. So this is an extremely important one that a lot of people say is the reason that women have a hard time getting past the middle management stage.
Yeah, it's surprising that even with the great numbers that you do share on your website, that I think it was 6% of women are still the highest earners. It's a very small number where women are at that level.
And we believe that if women focus and understand the options that they have, we divided that chapter into, you know, those skills that were totally necessary, you had to have, they weren't optional, and then optional kind of expertise that you could get that would be helpful.
Right. So when we go through that chapter, we want to check.
Exactly.
All right, let's look at success strategy number 4. Advocate unabashedly for yourself. Sharon, why don't you share what you mean by that with us?
One of the things that we heard from so many of the women when we asked them, what do you know now that you wish you had known earlier?
It's one of the questions I often end my interview with.
Yes. What they said was realizing that I own my own outcome. And then the second was that I understood how to portray myself and present myself in the way that will show my strength, and then to build the business case that says why I should get that promotion or I should get that raise.
Good. And you're talking there about the difference between a sponsor and a mentor in the workplace. Just could you, in a couple of sentences, tell us what you mean by finding a sponsor versus a mentor?
Absolutely. We talk a lot about mentors. Mentors are those who give you advice when you're struggling, who help you through situations. But sponsors are people who are in a position to advocate for you to get those senior positions. So these are people who have to know you, know your strengths, and be willing to take the risk. And that is a risk.
Right.
Take that risk to advocate for you to get the senior positions. And what we have to realize is that this is also something that is positive for the sponsor, because if the sponsor recommends you and you do well, they get the credit.
There you go. It's a win-win situation. Quickly on number 5, Laura, translate the stories numbers tell to drive strategic results, because this, again, is an area, I think, from my experience consulting with women, that somebody's moving their chair there, that women tend to fall down on a little is the metric side of things.
Well, this is one I feel extremely passionate about, because I think that it is imperative that you understand what the numbers are telling you. And we differentiated it. We didn't say understand the numbers. We said, understand the stories the numbers are telling you. Women quite often, when they began to talk about finances, will start with a phrase such as, well, I'm not very good with numbers, or finance is not my expertise. And this means that anything they say after that is not taken seriously. And we find that women are quite reluctant to make learning about the finances a priority. But we tried to make this a little less scary. It's something that I find a lot of fun, the business of the business. And we encourage people to talk to people in their organizations, as well as read books and take courses, but to learn what's behind these numbers. What does it say? How risk tolerant is my company? I need to know that if I'm going in with a new idea that might be expensive. How does it compare to its competitors? What do the profits look like when it compares?
Right.
What do the owners want to achieve? Those kinds of things will give you wisdom as well as information, and are totally necessary for you to do your job as a manager, because as a manager, your job really is to take care of the health of the organization in all areas, including finance.
Right. And I think the key there, and I'll stress it again because I think it's worth stressing, is look at the stories that those numbers tell you. So number six is create exceptional teams. Number seven is nurture your greatest asset, which is you, of course. You talk a little bit about balance being a total myth. We're almost at the end of our segment now. We've only got a few minutes here. But you say that women now tend to compare. We used to compartmentalize. Now we need to integrate. We need to integrate work into our life and life into our work. Just share a view on that, if you would, Sharon.
Yes, exactly. And that goes back to what I was saying in Own Your Destiny. You need to know your goals, your priorities. Realize they will change over time, and use those priorities to determine how you will spend your time and your energy. And look at both the family and the professional and other parts of your life, and build your life based on those priorities.
Right. And then last but not least is strategy number eight, turn possibilities into reality. And I love this. You say, let's talk about the magical word used by Mary Poppins. And who doesn't love that movie? Serendipity is that magic word. Laura, what do you have to say on serendipity and how we can make it work for us?
Well, when you talk to people about their careers, as we get to a certain point in our lives, we often make it sound like it was very planned and organized. But we all know that the opportunities came to us quite often very unexpectedly from a very unexpected source. And one of the things that we realize is that we get so caught up in our lives that when these, what's the phrase, Sharon, happy accidents?
Happy accidents.
When these happy accidents come your way, you have to have the space in your life to know they're there and to act on them. And this is something that is true in all parts of our lives, but so true as we build our careers.
Right. Well, I told you that the question you asked your women is one that I often end my segments with. So, of course, I'm going to ask you that question. And that is, I'd like each of you to tell me, you know, what you know now that you wish you had known 20 years ago. And they're going to, like, take some time here to think about it. Point.
Oh, exactly. You know, we ask it all the time, but we never have to answer it. I think this is Sharon speaking. I really do believe that the two that most that I really wish I had understood was the owning your own destiny and nurturing yourself. Those are two that I learned late in life, but they were so important to me in terms of leading a fulfilling life.
Mm. And Laura?
I would say that underneath everything we wrote, everything we think, I believe, is belief in the good of people, their desire to do well, to be effective. And if you have that attitude and mix it in with the woman's style, it's a very, very, very powerful force that can make amazing differences in the world.
Well, I think your book is going to make an amazing difference to many people. It is called How Women Lead. 8 essential strategies successful women know. And I'm thinking if you are a male listener out there who manages women, you might want to get a copy of this book for yourself as well as your team so that you can know what makes successful women. I thank you both for being with us today. Really appreciate your time. And I know listeners can find out more about you at howsuccessfulwomenlead.com. A final quick thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
I would just like to say, lead boldly, lead like a woman.
Love it.
And that is our motto.
There you go. So there we go. Leave boldly, lead like a woman. I love it. Thanks so much for being with us. Please do stay with us. We will be right back with Daniel Silvert, who's going to talk to us about DISC. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Canine and Feline Caviar, we cover the world of animals. This Sunday, December 16th, always entertaining Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will host the show for me. They'll have holiday precautions to share, so you'll be sure to keep your animal friends safe. Plus, as always, open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we're talking about success today. And my next guest is Daniel Silvert. He's a keynote speaker and executive coach. He and his colleague, Merrick Rosenberg, have led training programs for more than 20,000 people in small and large corporations. But I know they've worked with more than two-thirds of the current Fortune 100 companies in 44 states and around the world. Together, they've co-authored a new book called Taking Flight, Master the DISC Styles to Transform Your Career, Your Relationships, Your Life. Daniel Silvert, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Terrific to be here.
And it's good to have you. I was saying in the break, this is one of my favorite tools ever, because when I worked in the financial industry, we were all of the managers had to do this. All of the employees did, but the managers had to do it as a group. And once we'd done it, everybody kept going, well, that explains a lot. Now I know more about you. But let's just start off with what DISC is for those who are not familiar with it. You say it's a framework. The framework of DISC is hidden in everything we do, and I would agree with you on that. So tell us what DISC is.
Sure. The disc has been around, first of all, for nearly 100 years. And what it does is highlight what the four basic behavioral styles or personality styles that represent the human condition. So in the DISC is an acronym, D-I-S-C. So D stands for dominant styles, I stands for influence, S is steady, and C is conscientious. And what we did with Taking Flight is take those more clinical terms and attach them to birds. So eagles represent a dominant style. So when you think of an eagle, right, what comes to mind? They're bottom line, get it done.
Right.
They're serious about, you know, setting goals and knocking them down, and they're very direct. For the eyes, we have the parrots. Parrots are fun. They're relaxed, go with the flow. They're outgoing, very social, very very colorful. For S's, we have doves, and doves are all about harmony and being patient and empathetic and sincere. And for C, conscientious styles, we have owls, and owls are all about, you know, being observant and being very, also very patient, but very analytical and very detail-oriented and very focused on accuracy and preciseness.
Right.
So by using the birds, we try to make the DISC model much more accessible.
Now, one of the things I want to ask you right up front, we hear a lot about Myers-Briggs. I've done that too several times over various courses over the years. But I still prefer DISC. And so I did a little research on the internet, and I thought, I wonder, you know, what the difference is from a presenter's perspective. Could you tell me why you like the DISC model?
That's a great question. The Myers-Briggs is a terrific model, but it's also fairly complex. Instead of four styles, there are eight, and then those eight multiply further. And while it's deep and rich, it's actually quite difficult to apply because of its complexity. And one of the great things about DISC is that it's relatively simple. So when people take our DISC program or they read Taking Flight, they get it immediately. And now you can apply it everywhere. You apply it with your boss. You apply it with your kids, with your spouse. You just get it. And the practicality of it is really, in my mind, what sets it apart from Myers-Briggs.
Right. And as you said, your book is put together, you kind of have told a fable, if you will, using birds, the eagle, the parrot, the doves, and owls to illustrate each of these characters. So that makes it quite unique in books that talk about this subject, because they can often be quite dry and, you know, kind of boring. This added
exactly.
A little...
Exactly. I mean, if you like fables, then you read Taking Flight, the first half of the book is just a quick fable, and you'll totally get it. You've got a group of birds in the forest. Each group represents a different style. You will recognize yourself. Each and every reader is either an eagle, a parrot, an owl, or a dove. And as they go through their little adventure, you see how they work together. If you are, let's say, an eagle as a reader, and you just want to cut to the chase, go to the second half. This is how to use DISC in the real world, at work and at home.
Right.
You want to take the profile yourself, go on to takeflightlearning.com, and you can take a free profile. So we really tried to make it accessible for all four styles.
Now, what if, you know, some people, and I'm one of them, I don't like being pigeonholed because I think we're human beings. We tend to act a little differently under different circumstances with different people at different times in our life. But there is flexibility in this model. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how we adapt that. For example, you know, I'll share that when I did mine, I was a DI. I was fairly even balanced, but I was more of a D than an I. But in terms of crisis, I go straight into D model. So I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about how this adapts depending on what's going on.
Sure. Well, one of the reasons that DISC has endured is because there are four quadrants to your brain, and that's why there are four styles in DISC. And there, by the way, there are a bunch of other profiles out there that are based off of DISC that are also four quadrants for the same reason, because we have four quadrants to our brain. So if you're a D or an eagle, what that means physiologically is that you have more synaptic connections in the upper left portions of your brain than the lower right, which would have otherwise made you a dove. But all of us have the capacity to adapt to the right style at the right time with the right person. The question is, do we? And for most of us, the answer is not really. We tend to get fairly comfortable seeing the world through the prism that is our dominant style, and we don't flex as often as we should. And when we do flex, we become much better parents. We become much better coworkers. If you're a manager, you really get to understand and treat your people much better that way.
Yeah, I love at the back of the book, you've got examples of how teachers would use this, how students might use this, as well as, you know, employers, because this definitely can translate across your whole life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really, this book is if you've got a relationship in your life that you care about, then you will find tremendous value in this book. And again, it doesn't matter whether it's at work or at home. I mean, if you're a parent, for example, you know what? I'll give you my own example. No, I'm a parrot eagle. I'm outgoing. I'm so-so. I tend to have a large network of friends. And my kid is not necessarily social as I am. He's more of an owl dove. So for him, having one or two friends is just fine. And if I'm not careful, I'll project what I would want onto him. And I'll say, hey, why aren't you more social? Why aren't you out there? Why don't you have more friends come over? And if I do that, I'm subliminally teaching my kid that who he is not acceptable.
Right.
But if I understand that he's a dove owl, well, now I can celebrate who he is. And I can say, wow, it must be so great to have one or two friends that you can really trust. And now I'm honoring where he's coming from as opposed to judging him.
Yeah, important distinction there. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you how you use this in the workplace yourself and what you've learned about yourself since you've been teaching this, not just understanding it. My guest in this segment is Daniel Silvett. His new book, along with co-author Merrick Rosenberg, is called Taking Flight, Master the Disc Styles to Transform Your Career, Your Relationships, Your Life. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Into the future. Time keeps on slipping.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no, LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
If the thought of mingling with in-laws at holiday parties, finding love under the mistletoe, or connecting with strangers at network meetings makes you wish you were somewhere else, don't miss next week's show on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Body language and communications expert Patty Woods will tell us how to dazzle without the frazzle. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and find over 200 podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Enjoy your food, but eat less. A simple way to eat less is to be mindful of what you're eating. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Eat slowly and enjoy the taste and texture of your food. Use hunger and fullness as cues to recognize when you've had enough. Healthy meals start with fruits, vegetables, and smaller portions of proteins and grains. And don't forget to choose low-fat or fat-free dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
1150kknw.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Eric, thank you. You're welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. He's playing Eagle music here, which if you've been listening to the show, you'll understand because we're talking today about the DISC model of behavior, which my guest and his Daniel Silvett and his co-author Merrick Rosenberg have very cleverly put together in a fable called Taking Flight, Master the DISC Styles to Transform Your Career, Your Relationships, Your Life. And they broke down the four styles of behavior into birds. And so eagle is one of them. Okay, Daniel, in this segment, I wanted to just talk a little bit about, okay, so we have this knowledge. You know, we face different situations on a daily basis. We said how this I think is much more flexible than many of the other personality styles once you really understand it. Can you give me an example of how you've used this in the workplace, maybe with somebody that you had a little conflict with in the past? I can think of situations where I've had not, you know, yelling and screaming conflict with somebody, but when we would butt heads a lot and disagree a lot. And once I'd done this, we both went through and did this this DISC model tool. We both had to take the test. And once we'd done this, we were able to communicate better after we'd figured out each other's style.
That's terrific. Yes, one of the more popular topics that we talk about in our training is stress and conflict. You know, the workplace is going to be stressful at some point. And depending on your style, will you respond to stress in a certain way? And depending on your coworker or your manager, they might respond in a very different way. And being able to recognize, really predict how they will react under stress can be a great tool in improving relationship. You want me to take you through how each style responds to stress?
Yeah, that would be perfect. Thank you.
All right, terrific. Well, it's not difficult to tell when an eagle is under stress, because eagles tend to become very visibly agitated, and their tone become really aggressive. Bees set clear, ambitious goals for themselves, and when they run up against obstacles, their first impulse is typically to kind of run right over them and keep moving. So when they're not able to do that, they can get stressed out pretty quick. But here's the thing about eagles. They're quick to get stressed out, but they're also the quickest to let it go. So if you have a conflict with an eagle, you might think they remember it a week later, but the reality is they probably forgot about it within 10 minutes of the conflict itself.
Mm-hmm.
These don't dwell on negativity. They've got too much work to do. They
right.
just move right along.
Right.
So parrots tend to verbalize everything. Parrots love to talk. So when they're stressed out, you know, because they're sharing it with you. But like eagles, parrots also don't like to dwell on negativity. So they'll deflect their stress with humor, and they'll find another way to, you know, to just move on. Doves are very different. Doves are very sensitive.
And these are the supportive. These are the S's.
Yes, the supportive styles. And I like to say that doves don't have memories. They have memory museums.
That's so true. If somebody I know.
Yes. So in every relationship in a dove's life is a museum. So that thing you said, that comment that you made 9 years ago that upset the dove, they framed it.
Yep.
And they can go down there and revisit that at any time. So what doves tend to do is they hold on to their stress, and they don't verbalize it. And it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And eventually, they'll blow. You see, doves are the kind of people that everyone else confides in because they're so empathetic and patient. But they are very careful about who they confide in.
Mm.
So the way to help a dove under stress is to have an authentic relationship with them. So you're one of those people that they'll actually confide in. Owls are difficult to tell when they're stressed out because they also are more introverted. But here's the interesting thing about owls is that they'll work harder when they're under stress because they'll request more data. When owls are working on something that's not going well, they immediately analyze it and get into analysis paralysis. So the way to help an owl is to get them to take a step back, smile, chill out a little bit, and see the big picture.
Yeah.
Because they tend to really get hyper-focused on the details.
Yeah, and this is so good. Now, I'll give you a personal example of how I used this when we first did it, because I'm an eagle parrot. And so, you know, when I worked frontline, and I used to work with a lot of people who were in the back office and didn't have to face customers and clients, you know, when they were angry. And so sometimes I would call to the back office to somebody who was an owl, and I'd just go, it's Vicky, I need ABC, and I need it now. you know, a bit nicer than that. But but they would, I saw, slow me down because, well, why do you need it? And, you know, how much of it do you need? And when do you need it? And it's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter why I need it. I need it because I have a client here. And when you understand those styles, I could slow down a little. And I learned how to speed them up a little. It makes a huge difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, what we end up doing without realizing it is over-applying the golden rule. So the golden rule is, of course, treat people the way you would like to be treated. Mm. And that makes perfect sense when it comes to values. Honesty, integrity, respect, and fairness, of course, the golden rule holds. But outside of the realm of values, the golden rule will get you in a lot of trouble. You want to treat people the way they want to be treated, not the way you want to be treated. So that has huge implications in the workplace. Because if I'm your manager, let's say, and I'm an owl, so I like to possess a lot of information and detail, and therefore when I delegate to you, I give you a lot of information and detail. But you're not an owl. Let's say you're a parrot. The chances are you're going to take offense to that and feel like I'm micromanaging you.
Right.
So in order to be a good manager, I have to say, well, wait a second, who's Vicky? Oh, she's a parrot. Wait a minute. I'm not going to give her lots of detail. I'm going to start with the big picture. I'm going to get her excited about it, and I'm going to let her come up with her own ideas. Then she'll be engaged.
Yeah, makes a huge difference. I'm so glad you brought that up about treating people how they want to be treated, because that's a key thing, too.
Yes, it really is, and it has so many different applications. Again, from delegation to, let's say, risk-taking. Well, eagles have no problem taking risks, because eagles don't judge themselves by their mistakes. They only judge themselves by how much progress they're making. And eagles assume there are going to be mistakes when you're making progress. The two go hand in hand. But owls, on the other hand, take mistakes very seriously. So they personalize their mistakes. So they're much less likely to take risks. So if your coworker is an owl and you happen to be an eagle or a parrot, you need to slow down a little bit, because you're going to make them very uncomfortable with sort of spontaneous risk-taking, because owls and doves are going to want to slow it down, analyze it, and make sure that it's going to get right, be right the first time before taking a step forward.
Yeah. Well, it's all great stuff, and I love the way that you've put this in this fable-type story in the book, Taking Flight, Master the Disc Styles, to transform your career, your relationships, your life. It is. I think it just puts it in a different way and helps people understand. So final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Daniel?
Yes, that self-awareness is really the key to being comfortable in your own skin and leading a successful life. If you lack self-awareness, it can really be quite tragic, because you'll bumble into the wrong relationships and you'll bumble into the wrong careers. I mean, I've worked with so many people, for example, parrots, who are working in an accounting firm. And I'll say to them, why are you an accountant? And they'll say,
not
well,
a good
my
mix,
dad was
yeah.
an accountant. You know, it's like, my father was an accountant, therefore, no, your dad is an owl. You are not. You're a parrot. So, you know, that's why we're so passionate about Taking Flight, because what we really want is for people to be able to look in the mirror, recognize who's there, and celebrate it. And when you can do that, not only will you bring out the best in yourself, but you'll be more curious about who other people are and helping them celebrate themselves.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us today and sharing this work. I know you've been teaching this for 15 years. We didn't even get to talk. There's 7 transformative disc principles in this book that tell you how you can transfer this and how you can really apply it, because that's the key. No good taking a test unless you know how to apply it. My guest, Daniel Silvett, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
And the book again, Taking Flight, you can find out more about Daniel Silvett and his co-author Merrick Rosenberg at takingflightwithdisc.com. And that's it for today. If you have any questions or feedback on today's show, you can reach me at 800-495-7617. Again, that's 800-495-7617 or info@conversationslive.net. And real quick, we talked with National Geographic filmmaker last week. Superb film, He did a film on the snow leopard in Afghanistan. That aired yesterday on National Geographic. But the rest of this week, National Geographic Wild TV is airing Big Cat Week. If you love those kind of films, don't miss it. It is really a superb series. And we'll be back next week with an all-new guest, an all-new topic. And until then, I want you to enjoy your week. Live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.